the mystery. Your mercy covers me, your grace is more than enough. The love, the mystery. Your
greetings
mercy
to the
covers
Grace Church in Ackworth. So good to have you here.
More than enough.
Joining us today. And all the folks in sermon audio and listening in, and those who go catch up with us on YouTube, are very, very welcome. And of course, the saints here in New Ross, you're all very welcome. Because there wouldn't be all these other things if it wasn't for you being here. I want to, this morning, speak about the night the singing brought the house down. I was talking to my old friend, Dr. James McConnell, yesterday afternoon on the phone. I'm encouraging him. He's going through a few things right now. And he said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, I'm going to preach on Acts 16, the night the singing brought the house down. And he says, oh, why not call it Jailhouse Rock? And I says, well, you know, that probably is a better title, Jailhouse Rock. But we'll just use that as the alternative title. It's found in Acts 16, verses 22 through to 34, and we'll read it together. You can stay in your seats. And the multitude arose up together against them, and the magistrates rent, that means tore off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. This is talking about Paul and Silas. There's been a wee girl walking through the town behind them for days, crying out, these are servants of the Most High God. She's possessed by a python spirit, which is spirit of divination. Divination. And they cast this spirit out of her. Now, this girl used to prophesy for her employees. She was a slave girl, so she had this spirit. She would prophesy. They would make the money. But Paul, he's fed up with her walking around after them, and he casts the devil out. Well, when the devil gets cast out, there's no more money. And so the boys, when you hit a guy in his pocketbook with your message, that's when the trouble starts, and it started for old Paul and Silas, and big causes raised against them. And that's where we're picking it up. The multitude rose up together against them, verse 22. The magistrate tore off their clothes, commanded to beat them, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food, meat, before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Marvelous story. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you with this mammoth task of speaking your word to your children. We'd ask, Lord, that you would shut us in with yourself. Lord, we would ask that you would touch our understanding Lord, that you would open our minds to understand the Scripture. Open our hearts and our spirits, Lord. Visit us with the power of your Spirit in the proclamation of this word. And also, Lord, I pray for Jillian, Lord, and you know that she is not well, and would ask that you would touch her with good health. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul had a profound grasp of the gospel, or should I say, the gospel had a profound grasp of Paul. And through this profound grasp, he discovered one of the benefits was an intimacy with God. If you would like an intimacy with God, grow in the gospel, study the gospel, meditate on the gospel. And what is the gospel? It is the work, the person, the work, the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our gospel. He is God's good news about himself. He is the good news from heaven. And intimacy with God comes through the gospel. Paul, as you know, got saved. His name had been Saul. He got saved in the Damascus Road, and from there on he went on an adventure of faith. And that faith, that service to the Lord Jesus Christ has now ended him up in jail. He's in prison. Lots of men of God have gone to prison. Joseph went to prison. Do you remember him? Yeah, he went to prison. Jeremiah went to prison. Was he a robber? No, these were men of God who were in prison because they were men of God. John the Baptist went to prison. In fact, he was executed in prison. The man to whom I referred a few moments ago, Dr. Jim McConnell, he has now been threatened with a prison sentence because he dared criticize the Muslims. And they've told him he's going down for 6 months. He's just happened to say more than criticize them. He said they were Satan's spawn. So, it wasn't the most delicate of things to say, but that's Jim. You know, that's the way. And now they're saying he's going to go to jail for 6 months. And if he does, he'll go to jail willingly and gladly. He's 78 years old, and he's preached Christ faithfully, and he'll stay true. And don't think, by the way, the persecution isn't going to happen here. Don't think it. They're coming at us from all directions. That's why we need to know, one of the reasons, we need to know the gospel and be firmly rooted and grounded and established in the faith. And when we know the gospel, we enjoy peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That just ceases to be little words upon a page. That becomes power and it explodes within our hearts and says, I have peace because I'm justified. I have been declared not guilty. That's what justification means. I'm declared not guilty. Therefore, being justified, declared not guilty. By faith, that's how we receive it. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith again into that grace wherein we stand. We're standing in grace. In the Greek, it's in the pluperfect. Our feet are firmly fixed, like feet would be fixed in concrete, immovable. We're standing in grace. When you start to understand these gospel benefits, then you enjoy peace. Then you enjoy hope. Then you enjoy joy itself. And it's sadly lacking today. Joyful Christians, I've met a lot of mourning Christians. Very few joyful Christians. Very few who are at peace with God. Although the peace has been declared, they don't enjoy the peace of God. Worried about past failures, worried about crimes that they committed. Listen, those things are done. They're gone. They're over with. Have you taken them to the blood of Christ? If you've taken them to the blood, it's finished, because it's already finished. And so, I would desire that all here would continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of God, continue to grow in the gospel. So when Paul grasped the gospel, or rather the gospel grasped him, it led to a number of things. It led, first of all, to a continuing consecration. Now, we've already been sanctified by the Lord because he set us apart by one offering. By his blood, he set us apart. Holiness is being set apart. Sanctification is being set apart unto. We have been set apart unto the Lord. As we walk in that, we are consecrated. We're focused on him, his purposes, his kingdom. And so, Paul, because of the gospel, had this burning zeal. He, through the gospel, knew about the saving power. He had been turned around, and all of us can be turned around by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the gospel, he received a revelation of God. In the gospel, in the doing and dying of Christ, in the person, work, and offices of Christ, he received a revelation of God. First, the first doctrine of the gospel is that God became a man. This man, Jesus, with whom we do have to do, he is our God in human flesh. He, as the God-man, went to the cross. Is that not enough to electrify us? God took responsibility for us in the person of his Son. Through the gospel, Paul came to know the character of God. He'd learned the character of God from the Old Testament. Of course, that was helpful. But he came to see the character of God in the gospel. I mean, the gospel reveals the holiness of God. Well, how does it do that, brother? I'll tell you how it does it. You see that man hanging upon the cross? Why? He was becoming a wrath offering, or the Bible calls it a propitiation for our sins. An offering which satisfied the wrath of God. But why did God have wrath? God had wrath because he's holy and he hates sin. And in the gospel, there you are, the holiness of God, God's hatred of sin is revealed in the gospel. What else is revealed in the gospel? The righteousness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. It's revealed in the gospel through this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an abstract theory or two verses to memorize. No. We continually need to encounter God in the gospel. Paul knew this burning zeal, the saving power. He knew the force of the gospel. And it was all revolutionary to Paul. But of course, it was always in the Old Testament in picture form. Paul hadn't seen it, but he saw it afterwards. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, it was there all the time. I didn't give you the scripture, Anton, but in Genesis 3, there was a promise made to Eve that there was a coming seed. That was the start of it. There was one who was going to come and he would bruise the head of the serpent. That was a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It prophesied of the cross, how the Lord Jesus Christ would bruise the serpent at the cross. Oh yeah, there was that. There was the revelation of substitutionary sacrifice, which started in the garden and then went in clearly to Abel, who offered a substitute, a lamb who was slain and his blood was shed. That's the offering he brought to the Lord. His brother, on the other hand, he brought this offering of works. I worked hard, I toiled hard with the sweat of my brow, and I have all these crops and I'm going to give them to the Lord. But Abel understood the truth of the substitute. It was there. Paul wouldn't have seen that when he was a committed zealous Pharisee. But now in the gospel, he begins to see everything. He sees faith Abel obtaining righteousness. He sees that God is the just God. He sees that God is the God who must punish sin. And he sees that God is the Savior because he himself provided the sacrifice for our sins. Paul was surrounded by the law, but you know about the law led to the gospel. Do you know what the law did? It demanded, but couldn't give you the ability to keep the demands. The law showed us our inability. And if you're going to get to heaven by keeping the law, you're going to have to keep all the laws. All right? And so the law showed us our inability to create our own righteousness, but declared unto us there's an alien righteousness, one that is coming. Again, you see it in the substitutionary sacrifice. But all through the Old Testament, you see these references to the character of God. Psalm 143, verse 2, it says, "Enter not into judgment for thy servant with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no flesh be justified." You see, how does he know that? That's the inability. He's now seeing he cannot be justified by his efforts, by his law keeping. And the law will do this to you. If you try to get to heaven by the law, by your works, if you're honest and not a hypocrite, you will see that your works cannot take you there. Psalm 51, verse 1, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Oh, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." There's a call for the gospel if there ever was one. Oh, is that in the book of Philippians? No, that's in the Psalm. That's under the law. They're calling out for mercy. They're calling out to the loving kindness. See, the law will drive you to the gospel, because the law will expose to you your inability to keep it. Take, for example, the first law, the great law: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. How many of you have kept that? Have I kept it? And I'm a preacher. Been a preacher for 40 years. I haven't kept it yet. I haven't even kept it for 5 minutes at a time. To love him with all my mind? I've never been able to do it. And yet it's the law. It's a violation of the law to not do it. Oh, where will I find mercy? I'm a lawbreaker. So are you. Where will you find it? Where will you find mercy? The same place I do. At that old rugged cross on a hill far away. Through the doing, dying, rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're justified. Psalm 130, verse 7. With the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption. Oh, what a great age. You know, they had to look forward to that. We're living in that age. Is that not enough to keep us rejoicing and keep us set apart unto the Lord? And so, when Paul gets a hold of free grace, or as I said, free grace gets a hold of him, Paul could not keep quiet about Jesus. People have always said, "But how do you evangelize? You're always evangelizing." Listen, I don't know how to not evangelize. And I'm not blowing my trumpet. I'm simply saying, if you'll hang out with Jesus, he'll make you want to talk about him. You say, "But how do you become a soul winner?" I don't know. I'm not a soul winner. Only God can win souls. I can't win souls. But I can tell, and you can tell. You can gossip the gospel. That's all you have to do. Gossip the gospel. Have you ever gossiped anything? No, don't answer that. I bet you have. Hey, wait a minute. You know what they did? Hey, try gossiping the gospel. And as you hang out with the Lord Jesus and appreciate what he's done, it becomes part second nature to evangelize. To gospel. Go gospeling. So, well, brother, you're saying that this evangelistic thrust telling people about Jesus came out of Paul. Surely it was his responsibility to do that. Yeah, you know something? You're right. It's his responsibility to do it. And you're responsible as well to do it. But I didn't major in that, because I don't want to give you a law. We can turn anything good into a law. Yeah, you're responsible. You need to get out. Now listen, let me tell you, do you know where it's good for it to come out of? Not responsibility, but out of relationship. Out of knowing the gospel and just sharing it. Sharing it. Sharing it. It's wonderful. I don't know why Christians don't share their faith. Maybe it's because they're not intimate with the gospel. I don't know. But that consecration wasn't enough to keep him from confrontation. You know, the gospel will bring you into confrontation. Not everybody will like you. Seriously. In fact, there is, I'm seriously beginning to think there is something wrong with us if our unsaved friends and family don't think we're wet. If they don't think we are, we have lost the plot. There's something wrong with us. But we're all trying to be normal. We're all trying to fit in. We're trying to conform to this world. And not, it's okay, look, that's okay. Yeah, yeah, it's all right. No, don't ask me to speak on those issues. No. I'm smiling. That I don't get. Jesus was brought into confrontation. His family thought he was mad. They came one time to take him home because they thought he was beside himself. His brothers and sisters didn't believe in him until after the resurrection. People were always plotting against him. And yet we want to hide. We want to be hidden. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to be bold. We want to conform. Somebody once said, how can a jelly help but to conform? How does a jelly not conform? Yeah. And so this man, Paul, do you know what his name used to be? It used to be Saul. He was named after the king, the first king of Israel, Saul, who was head and shoulders above them all. That's who he was named, head and shoulders. But his name gets changed somehow to Paul. Do you know what Paul means? Paul means the little man. Paul, the little man. The one head and shoulders above them all had to become a little man. You know, the gospel will do that to you. The gospel will bring you down to size. And the gospel will show you that you're not all that wonderful. In fact, the gospel will show you that you're a wretch and that you need a savior. Paul, the little man, is reduced to size. You know, walking with God will always bring change in our lives. It really will. It's like this. The Lord says to us, hey, I want you to come and live in my house. Come on, come live in my house. There's only one problem with it. We're not compatible. And I'm the Lord, and I change not. He's bringing us to change. Bringing us view things through gospel eyes. No, I can't be bitter anymore. I'm not given that luxury. I can't be harsh and hard. I can't lie. Help me, Jesus. I've got a lying tongue. That's all right, son. You're in my house. I love you. I'm changing you. Well, if I don't get this problem dealt with, am I going to hell? No, son, you're not. I've saved you. I've bought you with blood. I've paid for you. You're not going anywhere, you're mine. But I'm going to change you. I'm going to change you along the way. You know, a lot of people don't really want to be around God. They don't mind sometimes being around a person who's been around God, but being around God can be scary. If you take his word seriously, it can be. And Paul, he ends up in jail. He ends up in confrontation with people. The story I gave you about the slave girl, I don't want to repeat all that again. But they end up in jail. And there from jail, what do we see? We see that the gospel has made them into people of complete contentment. They're sitting in jail. Now, there's two levels of the prison. There's the outer prison, which is, well, no prison is nice, but there's a bit of fresh air and everything. But these guys, Paul and Silas, are brought into the inner prison. Inner prison. And they're secured in the stocks. Do you know what the stocks are? That's where they put your legs through and their hands through. By the way, if you go down this road here, right down to the statue, catty corner to that used to be the New Ross Stocks. That corner where that those insurance people are and the phone company, that used to be the old jail. and there were stocks outside there. Well, Paul and Silas, they ended up in the stocks. Yeah, and there's no air, there's no light, there's a stench, there's probably heat. Very, very unpleasant place to be. And they have a praise service. In fact, it's like a gospel concert. They start singing. That's the first gospel concert ever was held in Europe. Did you know that? Acts 16. And they begin to sing. And I love what it says. They began to sing. And before, listen, here's what I was thinking about this. And here's some of the conversations they didn't have. Are you ready for this? Silas. Yes, Paul. I didn't bargain for this. I thought when I get into ministry, I was going to have a house. I thought when I get into ministry, I'd have a manse or a parochial house and a pension and a salary. I didn't say that. Here's another thing they didn't say. They're sitting there in the stocks. Hey, Paul, what are we going to do right now? How are we going to pass the time? Well, I don't know, says Paul. How about, why spy with my little eye? They didn't say that. Silas, what, Paul? I'm really worried. We're in here, and we started the work. We started the work out there, and we're in jail, and we can't take care of the people that we could save. I'm really worried. No, they didn't say that. God doesn't understand. He needs us. No, they didn't say that. Paul, he looks at Silas and says, well, I think we should praise. What? Praise. Yeah, I was at the seminar down in Jerusalem. Down in Jerusalem was a fella teaching on praise, and he said, give me a list of things to do, and I said, let's try it. No, they didn't say that. Absolutely not. Verse 25, it says, praying, they sang praises. They didn't have to refer to a seminar notebook. It was in them. The gospel was the effects of the gospel was in them. They were radically turned around. They were madly in love with Jesus. They said, here we are, great. We've got an opportunity to pray and to praise. And I loved what it said in verse 25. Praying, they sang. You know, as we gather together and pray, that's where you get that. Sometimes you sing when you're praying. Praying, they sang. It's a Bible pattern. Don't look around when somebody starts singing in the prayer meeting saying, what are they doing? This is a prayer meeting. Praying, they sang. These men were not affected by what was happening to them. They knew God. They knew that God was in control. They knew that he was in charge. They knew that Christ was risen from the dead. They knew that Christ reigned and ruled in heaven. They knew those things. And they were on a mission for him, and we are on a mission for him. Paul, later writing to the Philippians, writing to this place, this church that's now gathered, and he's back in jail, and he said, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. If they put Pastor McConnell in jail, it'll lead to the furtherance of the gospel. You see, what had happened? There was one of the elect and his family who were all elect, and they were there. The Lord wanted to get them the gospel. But there's nobody could walk up. There's no saved people. So do you know what he does to get this family saved? He sends his boys to jail. But they get beaten. They get their clothes ripped. Yes, yes, yeah. Did Paul and Silas complain? No, that's what their master wanted in his sovereignty. And the whole family gets saved. Would you go to jail and get a family saved? Hey, amen. You know, Paul, I was thinking about it. He spent a lot of time in jail. One of the reasons that God did this is he had to make Paul slow down. Because Paul had a lot of writing to do. And Paul wrote a bunch of letters from jail. And that was the Lord. Slow down, son. I'm going to put you in jail so that you can write. Listen, if we don't understand that we're his, we have been bought with a price with his own blood. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Then everything that happens, happens. God will work glory out of it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That actually could read, I can handle all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm not talking to you because I read that in a book. I'm talking to you from life's experience. We can handle all things through Christ. Some things we go through are very tough, very rough, very rugged. Not to be desired, but we go through them. The great thing is that we go through, we don't stay in them. Because through Christ I can do all things. I can handle all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they joined in God, Paul and Silas, they joined in the gospel. And they understood Jonah 1 and verse 9, or Jonah 2 and verse 9, I'm sorry. It said, salvation is of the Lord. Deliverance, freedom, release from bondage is of the Lord. No wonder they were content. Oh, what a rare jewel contentment is. Content. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. I've learned in all things wherewith to be content. What a real treasure that is. Salvation was of the Lord. They knew that the Lord had commenced salvation. Philippians 1:6. You see this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. That means he'll complete it. On the day of Jesus Christ. It'll be complete when Jesus Christ comes back. Philippians 2:13. This is very interesting. For it is God who works in you, both to do, to will and to do of his good pleasure. God started your salvation, our salvation. God is continuing our salvation. Look at that. And then, what about Philippians 3, verses 20 to 21? For our manner of life, our conversation is in heaven, from whence our citizenship. Whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He'll complete the salvation. He starts it, he continues, he completes it. He commences it, continues, completes it. And so these two men are joyful in their salvation. I've got to ask the question. What about you? Can you sing with them of old, like the song that sang, therefore with joy will we draw water out of the wells of salvation? Let me tell you this. If you do not know that the gospel has saved you, you're saved by something which someone else did 2,000 years ago. It's a past historical event. It cannot be tampered with. It cannot be undone. You don't know that. If you think I'm trying to hang on here, I'm saved, but I'm hanging on best I can. Listen, let me read that scripture again. Here's what you think it says. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of probation. But it doesn't say that we're on probation. We have salvation in the Lord. It is finished. It's salvation from the first to the last. And that makes it grace. All of grace. Before we leave this, we'll just, as we conclude, look at the jailer's question. What must I do to be saved? And they replied, well, you got to take the sacraments. No. What must I do to be saved? Well, you got to live a good life, buddy. Be good to your wife, good to your children, pay your bills, pay your taxes. Nope, they didn't say that. What must I do to be saved? Go to church, read your Bible. They didn't say that. They said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe, trust, Rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. You shall be saved. But I've been wicked. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Been unfaithful. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. All your sins washed away. Oh, that's the sins before I get saved. No, all your sins washed away. I'll leave you with a short story about some years ago. I read about this. A man, he was struggling with alcohol terribly, terribly badly in the grip of alcohol. And he just couldn't seem to get free. And there was a radio in his room, and he started flipping through it. And there was a preacher on the radio, and he paused to listen to the preacher. And the preacher said the words, "If you, while you listen to me, if you are absolutely hopeless, Jesus is ready." Boy, it just hit him like a brick. Jesus is ready to save you if you're absolutely hopeless. He fell to his knees and said, "God, I am absolutely hopeless. I need a Savior. I need you to save me." And God saved him. And that is the gospel.
Love the mystery, your mercy covers me, your grace is more than enough.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh.
Giving everything.